And we're holding on page 102 in Sukkah, the paragraph labeled Daf Mem Vov Amud Aleph. The compiler, Rabbi Yaakov ibn Chavi, was kind of jumping all over the place in this perek. We learned previously later parts of it, and now we're going back. So the Gemara mentions, Tanan Abban, Hoy Lefan of Mitzvahs Harbe. Suppose a person has in front of him a bunch of mitzvahs to do. So Rashi gives an example. A person has lulav to take and to sit in the sukkah and to put on tefillin and to put on tzitzis. Oimer, so he says, instead of saying an individual bracha on each one, the Tanakama of the Braisa says, he just says, Baruch Hashem Kedushan Mitzvahs Vitzvahno Ala Mitzvahs. So he says one bracha to cover all of it. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Mavaruch HaKolachas V'achas B'fnei Atzma, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you say an individual bracha on each one. 82. Page 102. Oh, yours is labeled 82. 82? Okay. Yeah. It's whatever would be opposite Nun Beis.
It's chapter 100 becomes 82.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Middle of Oischa. Okay. So I said, Rabbi Yehuda, Mavaruch HaKolachas V'achas B'fnei Atzma. Rabbi Yehuda says you say a bracha individually on each mitzvah. The halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yehuda, and of course that's what we do. We don't ever say a bracha ala mitzvahs. We say an individual bracha for each mitzvah. My time of Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you should say an individual bracha for each one? In other words, in a way, the Chachamim's opinion is easier to understand. We have a concept called you shouldn't make a bracha she'ena tzricha. You shouldn't make an unnecessary bracha. So the Chachamim take the view, mainly you're going to be doing different mitzvahs at different times, then sure, you'd say a bracha on each one, but if you're saying them or if you're doing them all together, then why not use one bracha to cover them the same way, for example, as with foods? You don't make, you're eating a bunch of different kinds of mezonos. You don't make an individual mezonos on each one. So why should it be any different over here? But, so why does Rabbi Yehuda say differently? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem yoim yoim. Blessed is Hashem day by day. Now, what do we mean yoim yoim? If it just said yoim, then fine. The word yoim by itself can mean the night also. But when it says yoim yoim, it suggests that we bless Hashem only by day. Do we bless Hashem only by day and not by night? Rather, the pasuk is coming to tell you, every single day, give Hashem the appropriate bracha for that day. Every day, in other words, Hashem is giving you new brachas and new things, so therefore you say the appropriate bracha every day individually for each thing. The same way Rabbi Yehuda says, every mitzvah is also a separate gift from Hashem. Therefore, every one you should be saying a separate bracha on it. And now the Gemara brings a point, since having mentioned something that Rabbi Zera or some say, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa says, so now, as the Gemara often does, it mentions another one. This we actually had earlier in the Perek as well. So either the compiler of Ein Yaakov or the printer is printed it again. Anyway. Come and see that the way Hashem does things is not the way like a boss of a dumb does things. Midas boss of a dumb, kli reikon machzik. With a boss of a dumb, you have an empty keli, you can put things into it. Mole ain't a machzik, but if a keli is full, then you can't add anything more to it. Avol midas hakadosh baruch hu, but Hashem is the other way around. Mole machzik reikon ain't a machzik. When the keli is full, when a person fills himself up with the chokhmah of Torah, then he can hold more Torah. Then he'll be able to absorb and keep more Torah. Reikon ain't a machzik, and if he's empty, he won't be able to. Marsha points out, this Gemara is also in Brachas, Marsha points out the reason for that is because Midas Vasav Adam involves gashmiistika things. Gashmiistika things, two things, can't occupy the same space. Therefore, when you have a full container, then you can't put anything else in it. But since when we're talking about the Brachas of Hashem, we're dealing with ruchniistika things, like the Chochma of Torah, then on the contrary, those follow the opposite laws. As the pasuk says, it will be if you listen, meaning if you listen to the mitzvahs that were there before tishma, then you'll be able to hear and understand more new ones and more new areas of Torah. But if not, lo tishma, then you won't be able to. Another meaning, if you've listened to the old mitzvahs, then you'll also be able to look to the old Torah that you also, in other words, that you keep on repeating and reviewing what you learned before, so you don't forget it. Tishma b'chodesh, then you will be able to learn, you'll be able to absorb new things, as Rashi explains, meaning that you'll be able to, based on the things you know from before, you'll be able to come up with new chidushim and new concepts in Torah. But if, as the pasuk continues, if your heart turns away, then shuv lo sishma, then you're not going to listen, you're not going to understand so well, because then, and that's the pasuk actually says, v'im yifne levavcha v'lo sishma, so the Gemara is understanding, it's not just in context, the pasuk is saying, if your heart turns away and you don't pay attention to what Hashem is saying, and you do such and such, but here the Gemara is understanding that the im yifne levavcha itself is the cause, and the v'lo sishma is the effect. The result of im yifne levavcha is that lo sishma, that you won't be able to absorb Torah as easily afterwards. Elsewhere, the Gemara brings in this connection the expression yom tazveni yemayim ezvecha, where the Torah says, if you leave me for one day, then I'll leave you for two. You have the mashal, they say, and like two people traveling in opposite directions, where after one day, they're 2 days apart. And so it is that if a person is traveling in one direction away from the Torah, meanwhile, the Torah is traveling away from him as well, and then it takes twice as much effort to get back on track. So again, we had this piece before, and we talked about it before. One thing is, here they have it. Here the Ein Yaakov has it the way it is in the printed Gemara, that it's quoting the pasuk v'hoya im shemaya tishma from Parshas Kisava, from right before the Tosafot. Earlier, when we learned it, when we had it the first time in Ein Yaakov, he had a different girsa instead with a pasuk from last week's parsha v'yoyme im shemaya tishma. So the Aruch HaNer points out the difference that. The one from last week's parasha by Mara, this is the first time they're receiving any mitzvahs as a nation, Shabbos and Dinim and Parah Adumah and so forth. So you can't really talk about in Tishma B'Yoshan, Tishma B'Chodesh, because there's no Yoshan really for them to be learning yet. Only later on in Parshas Kisavo can we talk about Yoshan and Chodesh, whereas the one in B'Shalach is more about im shamoya tishma. If you pay attention now, then in the future it will become easier for you to learn more in the future, but if not, then not. So there, that's where that would be why, in other words, why there are two different psukim that express the same idea, and why it is that you have the two different girsos of which one the Gemara is quoting. Okay. Having mentioned the Mishnah talked about Nisuch HaMayim, and the Gemara starts by mentioning that you have the reason for the Tekiyas by Nisuch HaMayim is because it says, Shav to Mayim B'Sosan, so when you're drawing water, there has to be with joy. So now that brings the Gemara to the following story. Hanu Tre Min. There were two minim, two people who don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, or who believe various heretical ideas or whatever. Chad Shmei Sosin v'Chad Shmei Simcha. And their names were Sosin and Simcha. Omalei Sosin v'Simcha no adifna minoch. So one time, Sosin says to Simcha, I'm better than you. Dichtivin. We even have a pasuk that puts Sosin before Simcha. Sosin v'Simcha yasigu v'Gomer. So you see that Sosin outranks Simcha. Omalei Simcha l'Sosin, and then the other one says back, no, on the contrary, Ano adifna minoch, I'm better than you, dichtiv Simcha v'Sosin la'Yehudim, because you have another pasuk that puts Simcha first. So on the face of it, it sounds like almost a very silly thing, and after we learn this piece, then we'll talk about various explanations that are brought of what the Gemara is. It almost sounds like one big joke, but the Gemara doesn't have jokes in it. There's got to be something deeper, so we'll talk about a little bit. So Sosin says to Simcha, you know what? Not only I'm better than you because of the pasuk that I brought, but Chad Yoima, there's going to come a time, Shavkuch, they're going to let you go, Mina Shemayim. In other words, like this year, you may have your place in Shemayim, but eventually they're going to let you go from there and demote you from there. The Shavyuch Pravanka, and they're going to make you into a messenger, a runner, Rashi says, a runner to run from one place to another, whether to run in front of an important person or to run and deliver messages or whatever. Dichtiv, kiva simcha seitzeim. As you have the pasuk, you will go out with simcha. So in other words, you're going to have, people are going to be going out in carriages or horses or whatever, and you, simcha, are going to be running before them to clear the way, a very menial job. Omalei simcha l'sosin, but simcha says to sosin, yeah, but on the other hand, chad yoyma shavkuch u'molabach maya, there's going to come a point when they're going to abandon you from Shemayim, and they're going to use you as a water carrier, as a water drawer, which is even a more menial thing. The pasuk says, you'll draw water with sosin. So you, sosin, are going to be the water drawer for them. And the Gemara continues, Amaleahu min de shmei sosin le Rababohu. So a certain min whose name was Sosin said to Rababohu, Bapashtus, we don't mean the same one, otherwise the Gemara would have said it's the same one. So Bapashtus, it was another min who also had the name Sosin. Anyway, he says, he based on the same pasuk, he claims, Asidisu de timulali mayim la alma de asi. In the future, in the Olam Abba, in the times of Mashiach, you will be filling up water for me. So he took that to mean you will be drawing water for the sake of Sosin. Omalei, Rababohu says, he have a ksiv lis Sosin kib kamrit. Sure, if it said Roshavta Mayim lis Sosin, then it would mean we're going to be drawing water for Sosin. And fine, since your name is Sosin, you have an excuse to say that it's referring to you. But now when it says that you'll fill up water with Sosin or in Sosin, what it means is mashke dahu gavra mashavin like guda, means we're going to take the skin of that person, meaning you, Sosin, we're going to take your skin, umalin and beimaya, and we're going to use that to fill up water. So we'll be filling up water bis Sosin with or in Sosin or what's left of Sosin. So what's going on over here? I mean, So Marsha points out, look, I mean, you know, we're talking about these are minim. They don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So therefore, all they have is the psukim. And you can see how silly they are about it, that they can't even understand. They can't even understand why it is that one pasuk would have things one way and the other way or whatever. And Rabbi Bohu can so easily show him that he doesn't know what he's talking about, even in simple pshat of a pasuk. The Aruch HaNer adds also, again, since the Mishnah had talked about that the Tzedukim don't believe in Nisuch HaMayim, so therefore the Gemara wants to show you over here how far a person can sink if they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, Nisuch HaMayim being part of that then they come up with these ridiculous things like these two minim, and like this third one with Rabbi Bohu. And in fact, Marsha ends up saying, Chozru Shnei Mitousim, Mufarash HaMakrois Kain, they both had to realize that they don't know what they're talking about. They both had to realize that our understandings of the Psukim are obviously flawed if each one of them can refute the other one so easily. So in other words, Marsha may be implying, in other words, that eventually these guys did tshuva, or at least a certain degree of tshuva. In that case, that would be one thing why the Gemara is bringing this story. As far as the part with Rabbi Bohu, Marsha points out, when the two minim are arguing, they're both talking about, neither of them is using the expression la'alma da'asi, which means in Olam Haba. They're both talking about, apparently, in this world, because neither of them believes in Tchias HaMeisim. So they can't say at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, you're going to be doing such and such, or you're going to be doing such and such, because they don't believe in the whole concept. But when you have the fellow is talking with Rabbi Bohu, and he's saying that you frum Jews do believe in Tchias HaMeisim, well then he's laughing at that and mocking it and saying, what good is your Tchias HaMeisim going to do you? All you're going to be, at that time, you're going to be my servants. And Rabbi Bohu says, on the contrary, you yourself are not going to be our water carrier, because you're not even going to have a chelik l'olam haba. You're not going to come alive by tchias HaMeisim. All that'll be left of you is your skin. So that's how he explains it. Now you have a lot of different explanations of deeper ideas behind this. There's a sefer from the Kli Yoker called Olo Sefraim. It's a collection of his drushes. He was the Rav, and he was the Rav of Prague, and he was a famous Darshan as well. He explains that symbolically over here, Sosin and Simcha refer to marriage and bris milah. We know, for example, we know by Lehudim Hoysa Oru V'Simcha V'Sosin V'Kor, that in particular Sosin is Bris Mila. So he explains that in this vein over here, that they're both arguing over which one is better, which one is more important in Jewish life, marriage or Bris Mila, and each one has a pasuk to support his position, meaning, in other words, there is, in a way, each one has an advantage over the other. But on the other hand, you can also look at it. Each one of them is either one of them an end in itself, or is it only a means to an end? What's the purpose of a Jewish marriage? Is it an end in itself that you have a couple are happily married and have shalom bayis and everything, or is it a means to an end in order that there should be a Jewish family? is Bris Milah an end in itself? In a way, each of them is an end in itself because they're a mitzvah, and a mitzvah is an end in itself. But on the other hand, primarily the purpose of Bris Milah has a purpose as a person goes on in life is to break his taivus and break his yetzahara. So therefore, that's the argument when one of them is saying you're going to be a runner and the other one's saying you're going to be a water drawer. He explains in that vein that each one of them is saying the mitzvah that my name represents is an important thing in itself. The mitzvah that your name represents is only a means to an end, so it's not as important. Then there's a couple of places in Sichas where the Rebbe shtells briefly on this Gemara. In one place, he points out that Simcha is a type of both of them mean happiness, of course, but Simcha refers to more to milamata lamaila. The upward you work your way up towards the Likus. That kind of thing is called Simcha. In fact, Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch points out, and in a couple of places in his Pirushim, in his writings, he points out the word Simcha is related. So the Shurash Samach is related to the word Samach, which means to grow. So just like a plant grows upward, the same way Simcha is a person grows because of their Simcha, as opposed to Sasin, the Rebbe explains, is Milmaila Lamata. So therefore, the argument between them is which one is greater. And of course, we know from all over the place that each one has its advantage over the other. And another place that Eber talks about, again, in connection with Lehud Marisa Oriv Simcha V'Sasin V'Kar, where Sasin is a, where Simcha and Sasin are Yomtev and Bris Milah. So you have, therefore, so each one of them represents one of those mitzvahs, and you have one is more pneumistic, one of the Bris Milah is more pneumistic, the Yomtev is more chitzoniistic. There is, in fact, an explanation among Mephoshim on Psukim. I think the Malbim says this, that Sasin is a more external kind of sin, that Sasin is that one of them is a more internalized kind of simcha and the other one is a more externalized one. And therefore also, so you have the argument, even though the Gemara is phrasing it between two minim and it seems like a silly argument between them, but there's depth in it, that there is taka, that question of which one is greater, the more inward simcha or the more outer one, the simcha of Bris Milah versus the simcha of Yom Tov. And then you have various other explanations that are brought from different achronim, including that the two of them, Sasan and Simcha, symbolize Edom and Yishmael, and they're arguing over between them which one has the advantage, and so on and so forth. We learned previously about the Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin, how they poured the wine and the water into the two bowls on the top of the Mizbeach, and then we learned, according to Rashi, they drain out of the bowls onto the surface of the Mizbeach, and then from there into the Shisin. According to Tosfos, they go directly into the Shisin. So now, in this connection, the Gemara brings, Amar Shlokish, Bizman Shemen Naschi Yayin Agabi Mizbeach, when they would pour wine on the Mizbeach throughout the year, Poikikin Es HaShisin, they would stop up the Shisin, these holes that go down through which the nesachim drain out it and eventually go into the shisin, they would plug up the hole through which the wine would go to the shisin, and then only later would they unblock it and let the wine flow through. L'kayim mashanema, this would fulfill what it says in the pasuk b'kodesh, in the holy place, haseich nesach shechar l'Hashem, pour a nisuch, pour a libation of shechar. When Meloshin Shichrus, Meloshin drunkenness, Lashem, so pour a libation of wine that's strong, that will make a person drunk to Hashem. So therefore, in keeping with that, we block the hole temporarily. So the Gemara says, "My mashma, how does Haseich Nesach Sheicha Lashem teach us anything about blocking up the hole?" Amara Papa, because Sheicha Loshin Sia, Loshin Svia, Loshin Shichrus. The word Sheicher suggests Sia, drinking. It also means Svia, being full, and also Shichrus, also getting drunk. So therefore, Rashi has a different girsa and a slightly different girsa, and Marsha brings that the Yalkut Shimoni also has the girsa, Loshin Shichrus v'simcha unesicha. That Sheicher is a Loshin of drunkenness and simcha and pouring. So the point is, in other words, that the point is, we want the Mizbeach to look full. We want it to be like the bowl that we're pouring the wine into is symbolically like the throat of the Mizbeach. We want it to look full, like the way that a person's throat is filled with wine when they're drinking. And that would be Bekavadik to Hashem and to the Mizbeach. And then afterwards, they unblock the hole and let it all drain out. Amar Rapapa Shmamino, we see from that, says Rapapa, since we're saying that Shechar is also Lashon Sviya, we see from that, Kisava Inish Chamra, when a person is satisfied with wine, when a person enjoys his wine the most, Migroine Sava, he gets the enjoyment from the fact that there's a lot of it in his throat. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, he won't enjoy it that much if he sips it little by little bit. The way to really enjoy your wine the most is to take a big gulp of it. So you have your throat is filled with it. And for that man, and in that connection, Amar Rava, Tzurvam et Abonon Delay Nefisha Lechamra, for that reason, if a young Talmid Chacham does not have very much wine and he wants to enjoy what he does have, Ligma Gamui, then he should take big gulps of it because, again, that way he'll enjoy, that way he'll get the maximum enjoyment out of it. And in fact, Rava, Akosa de Birkasar, Agma Gamui, Rava would do that. It would do exactly that whenever he had a Kosra Baruch, Kiddush or Havdalah or what have you, in order to show the Chibuv Mitzvah, how precious the Mitzvah is to him, he would drink it in big gulps for that reason. Now, that's all according to Rashi. Marsha has some difficulty with that. In particular, the fact that the word goma that we're using over here does not suggest a big gulp. It suggests actually a little bit of drinking, like you have by Eliezer with Rivka. Hagmi'ini no mat mayim. He's not asking for a big gulp of water. He's just asking for a sip. And also then it doesn't seem to be on the contrary. You pour in the wine and it goes straight down into the shisin. Wouldn't that be more like taking a big gulp all at once? So Marsha says it's actually the other way around. That the what we're saying over here, migroine sova and ligma gamui, all of that is just the opposite. It means you enjoy the wine more by taking small sips of it. You take a sip and then another sip and so forth, and you would get the maximum enjoyment out of it that way. So for that reason, we want that. Marsha says when we talk about when Resh Lakish is saying that you stop up the drains in the mizbeach, we don't mean they stop them up completely. They stop them up partially, so the wine is trickling down a little at a time. That's similar to sipping a little bit at a time. And the same way that Tzurvam and Abanan should do that, and the same way Rava would do that with the Kosra Bracha, on the contrary, not take big gulps, but on the contrary, sip it in order that he gets the maximum enjoyment out of it. Further on, so now previously we had a piece in the Gemara, which again in Yaakov here, it's all out of order, but in the Gemara, at this point, you have the part that we learned previously about that the Shisin were there from Sheshes and Mebereshes, and they're referred to in a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where the second half of a Pasuk that says Chamukah Yerechayich Kamal Chaloi Masi De Oman, that the hidden parts of your thighs, we said, are like Chaloim, are like a hollowed out thing that were made by the craftsman, where we said that refers to the underground Shisin, they're hidden underground, and they're Yurei Chayich, they're by the side of the Mizbeach, Kamoi Chaloim, and they're like a deeply dug tunnel, Maisi De Oman, that were made by the master craftsman by Hashem. So now, having brought that, now the Gemara is going to explain the first half of that same pasuk. So the Dorash Rav, my dichtiv, that pasuk in Shir HaShirim begins, my yofu for amayich ban olim bas nodi. The Pasuk says, how beautiful are your footsteps in shoes, you daughter of the nobleman. So what is that? And then the Pasuk continues, Chamukah Yerechayif, the part that the Darshan before about the Shisin. So what does this mean? My yofu pamisein shal Yisrael b'shar sha'olam l'regel. My yofu pamayich b'na olim, Rashi explains, the word b'na olim is related to the word aliyah. So therefore it means, how beautiful are the footsteps of the Jewish people when they go on aliyah l'regel. And when it continues, Bas Nodiv, the daughter of the Nodiv. Now, Nodiv means a nobleman, but literally the word Nodiv means Moshe Nadava, a volunteer. So why are the Jewish people called Bas Nodiv? Bite shal Avram Avinu shenikra Nodiv. They're the daughter and the descendants of Avraham Avinu, who is called Nodiv, who is called, first of all, because Avraham was noble, but also Nodiv, Rashi explains, he was the first one whose mind and heart volunteered him to recognize Hashem when the whole world did not. So therefore, he's called the Nodiv. He's called the ultimate volunteer. So now the Jewish people are called after him, and therefore we're called Bas Nodiv. Shenemar, as we find a pasuk, Nedive Amim Nesafu, the noblemen or the volunteers of the nations have gathered, Amalekei Avraham, the nation of the God of Avraham. This is in Kapitel Mem Zayin, which we say before Tekiyas Shofar. So we have to ask, why Alekei Avraham, Alekei Yitzchok Yaakov? Why are we not mentioning? Why are we only calling Hashem over there the God of Avraham and not of Yitzchok and Yaakov as well? So the reason is Ella Kei Avraham Shari Tchilal Geirim. We're focusing on Avraham because he was the first of all the Geirim. He was the first one to volunteer to recognize Hashem and to become the prototypical Ger. So therefore, so that's why we refer to specifically the Kei Avraham in that context. In fact, Maharsha says that's what the pasuk means. That Nedive Amim Ne'asafu means we're talking about the Geirim throughout generations who have volunteered. The Nedive, they volunteered to leave their former lifestyle. And same thing, the Pashtus we can say applies to Baalei Teshuva as well. They volunteered to leave their former lifestyle and to become Geirim, and they joined together with the Jewish people. So now they deserve to be called specifically Amalekei Avraham. Same thing with Yisrael we have in this week's parasha, right? Yeah. And Maharsha points out also, you know, you have to ask, okay, so that explains why in that pasuk, when we're talking about Geirim joining and assembling together to join the Jewish people, sure, then we can understand why it's associated specifically with Avraham, because again, he was the prototypical Geir. What about by Aliyah L'Regel? Why specifically are we focusing on Avraham? Again, if we're saying that Nodiv refers to Avraham, then why is the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim referring to the Jewish people as Bas Nodiv and associating them specifically with Avraham? And the reason is, Maharsha says, because after all, Avraham was also the first one to be Olah L'Regel. He came with Yitzchak to the Akedah, which is the site of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, in the sense, he's also the prototype of the one who's Olah L'Regel, and therefore all future Olah L'Regelim can also be named after him. It's Yosef points out another point as well, that Avraham not only was the first one to go on Aliyah L'Regel to the actual site of the Beis Hamikdash, he was the first one to lech lecha me'aretzecha me'eladcha, to leave his birthplace and all, and go la'aretz asher areka, to Eretz Yisrael, and the Olah L'Regelim do exactly the same thing. They abandon their houses and their farms and all their possessions and everything, and they go to the Beis Hamikdash to see the presence of Hashem, so therefore they deserve to be called Bas Nodiv, specifically after Avraham. In token of that they have the same kind of mesiras nefesh to leave their houses and farms and everything and all their business and everything behind and go on Aliyah L'Regel just like he did. The Gemara continues. Tana Dvei Rab Onan. They learned a braisa in the yeshiva of Rab Onan. The pasuk continues again. The second half of the pasuk, which before the Gemara had darshan as referring to the shisin. Here's another way of looking at that pasuk. When the pasuk says chamuke yerechayich kamei chaloyim, the hidden parts of your thighs are like jewels. So here the Gemara is going to understand. So here the Gemara is understanding chaloyim as meaning beautiful arrangements of jewels. It actually brings a pasuk from Mishle that refers to chali kesem, which means a type of beautiful jewelry made with gold and inlaid with stones and so forth. So we see that the word chaloyim can mean that type of ornament. So masi de aman, the work of the master craftsman. Now we're going to understand that this is referring to the Torah. In particular, Rashi says, Masi de aman refers to the luchos, which are masi elikim hema. They were made, so to speak, by Hashem's own hands. So that means, in other words, we're comparing the Torah to the beautiful jewelry of Torah to yerechayich, to a thigh. So lama nimshalu divrei Torah liyerech. So why is the Torah being compared to a person's thigh? Loi malach, it comes to tell you, ma yerech beseser, just like the thigh is kept concealed under clothing. At divrei Torah beseser, the same way words of Torah need to be taught with a certain privacy. Meaning Rashi gives a couple of examples. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, we had it not so long ago, that you shouldn't be teaching begoiva shel ir. You shouldn't be sitting like in the heights of the city and in full view of everybody and teaching Torah. It should be more a bekavadika thing that's done in the Beis Medrash. Another example from a Gemara in Moed Katan that says that you shouldn't be teaching Talmidim out in the marketplace. The idea is, in other words, you want people to realize that Torah is something special. It's not something that Stam just belongs. It's not something to casual and mundane or whatever that belongs in the streets. So therefore, there has to be a certain covered given to it in the place and time when you teach it. With that said, that Gemara in Moed Katan mentions that Rav Chiya did teach Torah to his nephews, to Rav, and I think Rav Baba Chana in the street, and Rebbe was upset at him. And the Gemara discusses over there what Rav Chiya was thinking. There is a certain validity to the idea of teaching Torah in full view in public and in full view of the public, but on the other hand, we're saying it's not always like that. Sometimes it's more appropriate that Torah has to be kept more concealed. Ion Yaakov discusses over here that, for one thing, there's a difference between the different aspects of Torah. Are we talking about Nigla, or are we talking about secrets of Torah? That's one distinction. Anyway, so that's the point. That's the comparison to the Yerach. This also fits with what Rabbi Elazar says, that we see also that there are certain mitzvahs that should be done more in a private setting. My dichtiv, what does the pasuk mean? Higid l'cha adam matoiv. He has told you, man or human being, what is good. Or can also mean higid l'cha adam. People have told you what is good. Uma Hashem derdish mi'imach. What does Hashem actually want from you? Ki ma'sois mishpat. Hashem wants you to do justice. Va'avas chesed, and to love chesed. Va'atznei aleches imalekecha, and to act in a tzniastic way, in a modest way, with Hashem. So let's explain what each of those phrases means. Asos mishpat zehadin. The word asos mishpat means judging, means actual din, means a din Torah. You don't do that in full. You don't do that out in the street. You do that in a private, more private setting. The words avas chesed refer to doing gmilas chasadim, where again, this doesn't have to be publicized so much. This refers to hachnosis kala and halvoyas ames. Those things also, now where do we get? Hatznei leches imalekecha should refer to those things. Rashi points out, because we have the word leches in connection with those. We have a pasuk in Keheles, tov leches el beis evil, mi leches el beis mishne. Now, what do we mean? In what sense does there need to be hatznei leches with those things? So Rashi says two things. It means by each of those, a person has to keep his emotions and his actions in the appropriate amount. It shouldn't be, for example, by a wedding that he's going to let himself go completely and overeat and act in too silly a way. And the other hand, by a base evil, by a voice, a mess, he should also keep his emotions under control and not just let them go all over the place. Another point Rashi brings, which this one comes from Shiltus, one of the early Sfarim of the Gaonim, that Shiltus did Rabbi Chaya Gaon, that explains that Hatznei Aleches over here is, if money has to be spent for Hachnosas Kala or for Havoyas Hames, you have a poor person who can't afford it, and you're helping them out, it doesn't have to be done so publicly. You do it in a private way. You don't go and publicize, look at me, look how great I am, that I gave money for this purpose. Now, there are details within that as well. You have, on the other hand, you have the Rashba brings an expression in one of his Truvas, mitzvah lafarsim oise mitzvah. They asked him a shayla about, there was a shul where somebody had been menadev a large amount of money to renovate the shul, and he wanted them to put up a plaque with his name, and they asked the Rashba the question, is that proper to do, given this Gemara over here? And he points out, on the other hand, there is the point that when you mafarisim oisim mitzvah, then it encourages other people to follow suit. So there's a balance to be struck. The same way as we're saying, as far as teaching Torah baseser, where sometimes that needs to be done, but on the other hand, sometimes you have to do it bereish gli beroivam. The same way it is with these things. The Gemara is saying there is a time you have to realize when it has to be done, batznei aleches, versus when it has to be more publicized in order that other people should take a lesson and do the same way. So now the Gemara says, v'aloi dvorim kavachomer. So now, if we're saying that hatznei aleches imalekecha refers to hachnosis kala and halvoyas hames, then consider here kavachomer. These are things that are usually done in full view, because a wedding is a big event. A havoyas hames, a levaya, is a big event. So there's a lot of publicity to the event as it is, and yet omra torah hatznei aleches, and yet the Torah says act in a tzniastic way as far as keeping your emotions and your actions under control, and as far as not publicizing your part in contributing towards it. So dvarim shadarkan lasos in mitzina. Well, then other things which are usually done more secretly, for example, Rashi says other kinds of tzedakah, alachas kama v'kama. How much more so? You have to be careful to do them in a private way and not to publicize them. And the same thing Rashi says, this applies to divrei Torah as well, which brings us back. This is what the Gemara said behind the Amar Rabbi Elazar. The same way, divrei Torah in and of themselves, there's not necessarily so much publicity it involved always in teaching Torah, and the same way, therefore, that's something that ought to be done with Sina. And Marsha points out, of course, you do have the practical fact. If a person is doing it for Fahesia, a lot of times you have the problem of URL, that they're doing it to pride themselves on it, and that makes the mitzvah not such a great mitzvah anymore. But on the other hand, again, as the Rashba says, when a person is doing it not for URL, but rather to encourage other people to do the same, then adrabba, then publicity is a good thing. We'll continue tomorrow. Yom Yom Mashiach Ga'ola. Yud Tes Shvat. The Rebbe was talking about in a Sicha, Parshas Matas Masei, that for Pashtus, we've already finished all the details of the 42 journeys through the Midbar HaAmim of the time of Golus. The Novi Yechezkel describes, he says, there's going to come a point in Jewish history when Hashem says, I'll bring you out to the Midbar HaAmim, and that will be the final stage before the Gola. So Rashi explains in various places that Midbar HaAmim, there's an actual physical desert. The desert that the Jewish people traveled through during the 40 years is called Midbar HaAmim because there were a number of different nations surrounding it, Mitzrayim on one side and Edrem on the other. Metaphorically, Midbar HaAmim means the whole desert and the whole wilderness of Golos that we've been traveling through for all this time. So now that Rebbe is saying that the Pashtos, we finished all the 42 journeys through it, and we're already Al Yarden Yerichai, and even as the Pasuk says, Me'evel Yarden Yerichai Kedma Mizracha, we're already on the east side of the Yarden, ready to already cross over into Eretz Yisrael and finish off Golus once and for all. Yurecho, some sukkim it says Yurecho, some says Yurecho, yeah. But Yurecho is, by the way, also, I don't know if they ever talked about it in this Sicha, it's not in this excerpt over here, but there are places where they ever talked about that Yurecho is connected with Mashiach. One of the explanations why Yurecho is called that is Meloshin Reyach, because there was a fragrance over there from, in particular, the Afarsimon trees that grew in that area, and we know Mashiach is connected with smell, V'arichei V'yiras Havayim. So that's also that Al Yarden Yurecho means, in other words, that we're at the time of the Reyach of Mashiach.
He's
going to judge my smell, yeah. Okay, continuing with halachas of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. So we talked about yesterday that the dinim about when you're allowed and not allowed to call a kohen or a levi for an aliyah. So what happens if in the middle? What happens if in the middle of one of the seven aliyahs they mistakenly called up a kohen or a levi? So then the fact is you can have a kohen be in the middle or after another kohen or after another levi for the various reasons because of gam whatever. So then what you do is somebody else should get the aliyah. That Kohen or Levi should stand there by the bima, and then they'll give him mach. And then they'll give him mafter. Another din. When you have two parashiyos, then the connecting aliyah that connects the two parashiyos is always Revi. Mind you, there are different minhagim about that. He doesn't mention over here the Temanim, I believe, have a minhag that the first parasha ends with Shlishi, and then they have the remaining four aliyahs in the second parasha. But other than that, the minhag and all other kehilas is that the middle aliyah that connects them is always Revi. Then you have the dinim about the toichacha in Bechukosai and Kisav. So you don't make a break in the middle of it. You have to begin at least one pasuk before it, but because you can't begin within three psukim of a parasha psukha or stoma, so you have to begin, practically speaking, at least three psukim before them, and you have to end one pasuk after them. Then you have when it comes to kisisa, the Levi gets the whole aliyah of the eagle until the Moshosi Yeshua ben Nunar, because the Levium weren't involved in the eagle. The minhag is you read in a low voice from Vayitin Moshe Kachaloisa until Vayichal Moshe, Vayichal more loudly, you start again low from Vayifan Vayirad Moshe until Moshe Yikachasa Oil, and then loud the rest. The same thing by Bechokosai, you also have the appropriate parts that are read low and high and so forth. These are more instructions for the Balei Kriya to be aware of. You have also the minhag to do that by Bahaloscha. And so everything that's read low, it has to be loud enough that the tzibur will hear the sound, otherwise they're not yotze. And then speaking of, we were just talking about the masois from Parshas Masei. So yeah, you don't interrupt during the 42 masois in Parshas Masei because they correspond to the Shem Mem Beis, the 42 letter name of Hashem, and therefore you don't break in the middle of it. For that reason, also in those rare years when we read Matas and Masei separately, and therefore on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday, we're also reading the beginning of Parshas Masei. Then also you read for the Levi until the end of the Masois, and then the Yisrael gets a few psukim after that. What? This is true. Yeah.